In today's reading, which is Luke 24:13 to the end, page 1061, do get it ready. I'm going to read through it in a little bit. We're going back to Easter, or as I prefer to call it, Resurrection Sunday. And we're picking up from where Adam left off on Easter Sunday. 2 days before this moment, we're going, 2 days before this moment, we're going to look at, in a few minutes, it was finished. Jesus had been arrested, he'd been dragged through a sham trial in the middle of the night, he'd been beaten, he'd been mocked, he'd been stripped and nailed to a Roman cross, and the sky went dark, the earth shook, and with his final breath, Jesus cried out, "It is finished." And on that first Good Friday, the one who healed the sick, fed the hungry, forgave sinners, loved the unlovable, was hung up like a criminal. But then we read at the start of the chapter we find ourselves in today, early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, a few women, followers of Jesus, set out for the tomb. And their plan was simple. They just wanted to honor Jesus. They'd prepared spices to care for his body, expecting to find death. But instead, what they found was confusion. The stone had been already rolled away. The tomb was open and Jesus' body was gone. Then two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning appeared and said, "Why do you look for the living amongst the dead? He's not here, he is risen." Amen? He's risen, indeed. That message changed everything. The tomb was empty, not because someone had taken him, but because death could not hold him. And the women, they ran back with this news, but their words seemed like nonsense to the others, too wild, maybe too soon, too hard to believe. For the disciples, what had happened on Good Friday was the end. The light of the world had gone out forever. And so we find two of these disciples on the road to Emmaus, confused and grieving, trying to make sense of it all. They'd heard rumors that the tomb was empty, that Jesus might be alive, but hope was hard to hold on to for them. They were walking away, not knowing that Jesus was already walking with them. And that's where we meet them today. I remember once I was knocking doors in my day job as a missionary. It was an estate over in Seven Sisters. I don't know what direction that's in. I can never get my bearings. And we knocked on the door of this woman, and she answered, and her eyes just looked really tired. And she had her arms folded, and she was kind of sort of leaning against her door. And we got talking, and she said, "Yeah, I used to believe in all of that, church and faith and Jesus. But then life happened," she said. And then she just sort of looked past me. You know, when somebody stops looking you in your eyes and they sort of just look almost through you. And she said, "Sometimes it feels like God just walked off." And then she went to explain why it felt like God had just walked off. And I won't repeat any of it this morning. But I can't lie, that kind of stuck with me. Because I think a lot of people feel like that. Not angry at God, but just disappointed. Worn out, quietly walking away from the hope they believe in, without even realizing it. And that's exactly where we find these two disciples in our reading this morning. They're not shaking their fists at heaven, they're angry at God, shouting out. Well, they might have done, but it's not recorded by Luke. They're just done. They're just heading home, trying to make sense of what's happened. And they don't see it yet, but Jesus is walking right beside them. So before we listen into their conversation in our reading, shall we bow our heads and pray? Father God, thank you that you are here amongst us. You're in our midst, beside us, around us, and living and breathing in us via your Holy Spirit, those who truly believe. So Lord, open our minds and may we meet with you afresh today. May something burn in us anew today. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable and pleasing to you. Our Lord, our Rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. So, on the road to Emmaus, it's a pretty long passage. I'm going to go at a steady pace. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened, and as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast, and one of them, named Cleopas, asked him, Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days? What things? He asked. About Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. What is more, it is the third day since all this took place. And in addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, "How foolish are you, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken? Did the Messiah not have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in and he stayed with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were our hearts not burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem, and there they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true! The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So our story opens with two people walking away from Jerusalem. And to start with, who were these disciples? From verse 18, we know one of them was called Cleopas. In John's Gospel, in chapter 19, verse 25, we read, "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleopas and Mary Magdalene." So there's a shout out that he gets in one of the Gospels. Whoever they were, we can assume that they were probably related, because in verse 29, they urged Jesus to come and stay with us. We don't even know if they were both male, one was female, but the important factor is that we know they would have been disciples of Jesus because they'd been following Jesus, they'd believed in him, and they hoped in him. And for them, this had been the week from hell. Their whole world, as they knew it, had been blown apart. Their promised Messiah had been killed on a cross and buried. They'd witnessed him being beaten, spat on, insulted, and ultimately suffer that cruel death on the cross. As I said earlier, the light of the world had been blown out forever. But then they heard the ladies speaking about them finding the tomb empty and angels telling them that Jesus had risen from the dead. You'd think they would have been encouraged by this news. I know I probably would have been. Well, I would have been, not even probably. But instead, they just can't get their heads around it. And the more I think about it, the more their reluctance kind of makes sense, because back then the dead just didn't come back to life unless Jesus was involved in it. But Jesus was dead, and not only dead, his body was missing. And these two disciples weren't just a bit sad or down, they were done at the end of themselves, or at the end of their tether, as we might say. And more than that, they were heading in the wrong direction. Jerusalem is where the resurrection news is breaking out. As we read in the opening chapters of the book of Acts, it's where Jesus appears to his disciples and where the Holy Spirit will fall on the gathered believers in Jerusalem. Jerusalem is where it's happening. But for these two, they'd had enough, so they were walking the wrong way. And they say something in verse 21 that cuts really deep, I think. "We had hoped he was the one to redeem Israel." Past tense, we had hoped. That's grief talking. That's the language of someone who's done. They're saying, "We really thought Jesus was the one. We put everything into this. And now we're just lost." And remember, to most Jews, their promised Messiah was going to be this warrior, this majestic king, reigning on high with power and splendor. In Jesus, they had a fallen, perceivably had, a fallen dead and now vanished prophet, powerful in word and deed, as we read in our passage. And notice there's no mention of Jesus being the Messiah by Cleopas. And I'll ask you this morning, brothers and sisters, have you ever been there when you thought God would come through, but he didn't show up as you expected? When you prayed and nothing changed, when you trusted and things seemed like they were still falling apart? When your faith seems like something you used to be excited about and now you're not? You didn't storm off, you didn't slam the door on your faith, you just kind of maybe drifted a bit, took a step back. You carry on working, showing up, ticking all the boxes, going through the motions of life, but something inside of you has gone a bit quiet, a bit numb. You might even still be showing up at church, still going to life groups, serving in a ministry you've been a part of, still doing all the things you do day by day, but if you're honest, you feel just a bit disconnected, like you're running on a low spiritual battery. And that's where these two are. And they're not just lost emotionally because they're literally walking in the wrong direction. But they just can't see it because they've checked out. They're done. And here's the grace. Jesus meets them right there. He doesn't wait for them to turn around, head back to Jerusalem. He doesn't call out to them from a distance. Guys, you're kind of going in the wrong direction. You're supposed to be in Jerusalem. I'll talk to you up there where you're supposed to be. No. Jesus steps right into their journey, quietly, gently, right into the middle of their confusion and their pain. And that's what he does with us. He meets us on whatever road we find ourselves on. The grief road, the doubting road, the disappointment road, heartbroken road. He doesn't wait for us to get it all together or to pray the right prayer or to be getting to get back to church properly or to be performing how we feel like we should be performing. He walks with us even when our faith is barely flickering. He listens, he stays close, he lets us pour it out to him. And you might even be on that road today. Still walking, still showing up, but just carrying a quiet pain or a disappointment or tired faith. And if I'm honest, that's where I found myself for the most part of this year. From Christmas week last year, until now, I'm just in a better place. I was in a really low place spiritually and mentally and emotionally. And to cut a really long 6-month journey short, God has been good. And I've had some really great support around me and I'm here. It can be hard though, and sometimes just to have enough to keep going can be hard. To turn up to that meeting, to turn up and preach a sermon. But I've learned a lot of things in the last 6 months, but one of the things that I have learned is we don't need to be perfect to meet Jesus. We just need to pay attention because he's already right there walking with us. In whatever place or mess we find ourselves, Jesus is there. Amen? Amen. Jesus shows up anyway because at first they didn't know it was Jesus. He doesn't reveal himself right away. We don't know why they didn't recognize Jesus, but I very much doubt it was because he looked different. Because other people who saw him recognized him straight away. I think something supernatural was going on here, but they were kept from recognizing him, we read. I think God didn't let them recognize Jesus straight away because they didn't yet fully believe in who he was, especially in his death and resurrection. Their faith wasn't quite there yet, and Jesus wanted to walk with them in that confusion, open up the scriptures to them and prepare their hearts, because when Jesus approached them, he heard them talking together and asked them, "What are you guys discussing?" The New Living Translation says they stopped short, sadness written across their faces. "You must be the only person in Jerusalem," they said, "who hasn't heard about all the things that have been happening this week." Jesus could easily have said something like, "Aha, you mean all the things about me, my death and my resurrection. I'm here. Don't worry about the tomb. Here I am." But no. Jesus first listens. He lets them speak. He doesn't interrupt them. He takes their hurts and their pain and their confusion seriously, just like our God does with us. God could give us the answer right away, every time if he wanted to. He could solve every and any issue or problem we have without even breaking a sweat. But sometimes God just listens. He lets us speak. But then he gently speaks the truth, as we see here with Jesus, not in anger, not in shaming them, just with clarity. And I think a bit of sarcasm. I do believe Jesus had a sarcastic side to him. How foolish you are. How comes you find it so hard to believe all that the prophets wrote in the scriptures? Wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer all these things before entering his glory? And then Jesus does something really powerful. He takes them on a journey through the scriptures, right there on the road where the disciples shouldn't have been. Jesus starts to lead what has to be the most amazing small group Bible study in the history of small group Bible studies. I mean, could you imagine Jesus turning up and on the 11th, when we're back for our life groups, Jesus just walks in and takes over your life group. Says to Chris, who leads my life group, "Sorry, Chris, the boss is here, sit this one out." I don't think Chris will be arguing with him. Beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures about him. Jesus could have given them a lecture. He could have bamboozled them with lots of theology and missiology and audiologies and all that stuff. But he chose to simply turn to God's word and give them the bigger picture, showing them that the cross wasn't this massive life-ending disaster that they thought it was. It was a plan, and that God's plan was that Jesus' pain wasn't the end. It was how God was going to bring life out of death, because Jesus' death happened for the forgiveness of our sins, and his resurrection happened to beat death, which was the punishment for our sins. This is the gospel. And when life gets confusing or overwhelming, we need to turn to God and to his word. It's not optional, it's essential. God's word is what steadies confusion, comforts pain, and corrects wrongs. Amen? It reminds us of who he is, shows us what he's been doing, not just in the Bible, but even in our lives. It shows us how God has worked through messy, complicated people in the past, and how he's still doing the same in our situations now, even when we don't feel it. He reminds us of his promises, his character, his track record of being faithful, even when we can't see the whole picture. And that's why reading God's word really matters. Because it's so easy to forget the big picture and get stuck in our own little view of things. And Jesus patiently helps them and us see the bigger picture again. What they missed because they were stuck in their moment. And have you ever had that moment when you open the Bible or someone reads a verse or preaches a message and it just suddenly hits you differently and something just starts to click? And it's not lightning bolts, but you just get this crystal clear clarity maybe, or and sort of peace and new perspective. And that's Jesus opening your eyes and speaking to you through his word, his living word. And even now, after all that scripture reading and teaching, the small group of all small groups, they still don't get it. They still don't recognize Jesus. But that's all about to change, because something was stirring inside of them while this was happening. And we learn later that their hearts were burning within them when he was talking with them. Their eyes are about to be opened at the table, brothers and sisters. By the time they've finished talking and Jesus has finished teaching, they've reached the village. Jesus keeps walking like he's planning to keep going, but they stop him and say, "Stay with us." It's getting late. The day is nearly done. Even though they still didn't know who he was, that clearly they wanted this connection with him to carry on. And let's be honest, those roads weren't safe after dark. There's no street lighting. If any of you have ever been in natural darkness, in a field maybe, in the countryside maybe, where you literally cannot see anything in front of you. I drove in it once and it was petrifying. Back then, traveling after sunset was really risky. There was robbers, there was rough paths, as I said, no street lights, but something about this moment feels important, so they urged him strongly to stay with them, and so he went. And it's around that table, after the long walk, after the heavy conversation, that something shifts, brothers and sisters. Jesus takes the bread, he gives thanks, and he breaks it. And suddenly, they see. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight, we read. It wasn't in any deep theology. It wasn't even in the small group Bible study, scripture teaching, walking on the road. It was just a normal, everyday moment, a meal, a table, a gesture they'd seen before. That's when it clicked. This is Jesus. And sometimes we expect God to show up in the big and the dramatic. And he does sometimes. But often than not, he shows up in the ordinary. In quiet conversations, in small acts of kindness, in something familiar like breaking bread. And that's why presence, family, really matters. Hospitality really matters. Sharing our lives with others really matters. Because you never know when someone might just catch a glimpse of Jesus just by being with you. And it's not through, you know, what we might know about God and, you know, having all the right answers. It can just be simply, although that is important to be right about what we know about God and what we believe, but it can just be simply by just showing up with patience, with kindness, and just with our presence. Maybe we didn't see him at the time because we were too busy, too overwhelmed, too discouraged, or maybe too focused on our own plans. Might be our experience, just like these disciples. But that doesn't mean that Jesus wasn't ever there. He was always there with the disciples. And so just like them, let's not wait for a big sign. It might come, but let's stay faithful that God will work in our ordinary. Amen? Because he's often right there, but we just don't recognize him sometimes. Because some things are just clouding our view of him. Hearts on fire, feet on mission. The moment Jesus disappears, the two disciples look at each other and say, but wait, weren't our hearts burning inside of us when he was talking to us on the road and explained the scriptures to us? They didn't realize it in the moment, and trust me, I don't think any Gaviscon could have helped with this heartburn they had. This was proper chest-burning heartburn. But looking back, it all makes sense to them now. It was him. It was Jesus. Jesus had been with them the whole time, talking with them, explaining things, helping them make sense of everything they thought had gone wrong. And that's what Jesus does. He walks with us when we feel lost. He stays patient while we question. And then he lights a fire in our hearts that we can't ignore. And straight away, they get up, no delay, no waiting for daylight. They head back to Jerusalem straight away. That road was dangerous. It was dark. They'd already walked 7 miles, which is like walking from here to maybe Vauxhall Station, going south, or going east to Stratford. But none of that mattered anymore, because hope was alive, Jesus was alive, and they had to tell somebody. And this is what happens when we encounter Jesus. When he opens our eyes, reignites our heart, we have to do something about it. Can't keep it to ourselves. We have to tell somebody, have to pass it on. It's not ours to sit on. And they don't just tell the facts. They share their experience, the burning heart, the moment their eyes were opened, the way it all suddenly made sense. And that's what real witness looks like. Not just reciting truths that we've learned in church, which is good, but telling the story about how Jesus became real to us. And have you had that moment when something finally clicked, when God stirred something deeper in you, when the gospel didn't just make sense, but it started to burn? And maybe you're still waiting for that, and that's okay. Keep listening, keep walking. Jesus is on the road with you. But if your heart is burning, or has started to burn again, if you know God is doing something in you, don't keep it to yourself, brothers and sisters. Go back to the people who need to hear it. Tell someone what he's done and what he's doing. Let that fire move you into action, because someone in your life might be waiting for that spark too. And if that someone isn't a believer yet, it might mean the difference between eternal life or eternal death for them. That's the reality. Hearing the good news of Jesus from you, the gospel, what life was like before you met Jesus, how you came to know Jesus as your Savior and believe that he died and rose again to save you from your sins, and what your life has been like since you've become a believer. Simply put, that's our testimony. That's our journey to faith and in faith. Sharing that with somebody could make all the difference. So here's where we've been. Two disciples walking the wrong way, but Jesus meets them right where they are. He listens to their pain, opens up the scriptures to help them and to help them see things clearly. He reveals himself not through hype, but a simple table in the everyday moment. And once their eyes had been opened, they couldn't sit still. They had to get up and go and share it. And this isn't just a nice story from the Bible. Well, it is a nice story from the Bible, but it's a pattern for us. Jesus still walks with us in our confusion. He still speaks to us through his living word. He still shows up at our tables. He still sends us out to go back for others. And maybe today your heart's felt like it's been on a low battery. Maybe you're on the road of doubt, grief, or spiritual tiredness. Jesus meets you right there. But if today your heart's burning again, even just a little, don't ignore that burning. Don't sit on it. Let it move your feet, because there's someone in your life who needs to hear from you that Jesus is alive. Amen? And brothers and sisters, that's what we're here for as a church. To go into our part of the world and tell people that Jesus is alive, to come together, to equip each other and so on and so forth, to keep doing that more confidently. Slightly more to it than that, but simply put, tell Jesus and help each other grow. How excited are you this morning to go and tell people the good news of Jesus? The disciples didn't recognize who Jesus was, even when he opened the scriptures to them. It wasn't until they had a personal encounter with Jesus, seen him break the bread, give thanks, that they realized just who this guest was. What stops us from recognizing Jesus at times? What keeps our hearts from burning within us when we read all the things concerning Jesus in the scriptures? Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for your Son. Lord, we thank you for the cross and what he endured on the cross, that painful death, so that we might all spiritually live. And Lord, we thank you for the opportunity we have, Lord, all around us in our daily lives to share that good news with people. So I pray, Lord, that something will stir in us afresh today. A burning desire to go out and tell people about Jesus. And that might be in the quiet moments at work. It might be in a phone call with a grieved friend. But Lord, just give us the courage we need to be a vessel of your good news. In Jesus' name, amen.